Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. If you are listening to this show, you are probably a seeker just as I am. As seekers, we wholeheartedly endeavor to understand the meaning of our existence, both in the reality we see, the tangible or physical world, and the one we cannot see, the intangible or spiritual world. We know that there is so much more to life than what religion or science have attempted to define for us, and we understand that much of what we witness is illusory, and most of what we intuit is absolute truth. The time is coming in the not-too-distant future when much of the truth we as seekers seek will be mainstream knowledge and accepted by the masses, when science, or the proven fact as we now know it, becomes antiquated right along with the belief of the flat world, and quantum physics defines truth for us. At first glance, today's special guest, David Gagin, someone with a highly trained scientific mind, would appear to be an unlikely candidate for a spiritual seeker. He holds Bachelor of Science degrees in both math and electrical engineering, as well as a master's degree in electrical engineering from Villanova University. His successful career included working as an electrical engineer for Boeing, NASA, and the U.S. Army before he went on to create Cobham Defense Electronics Systems. David traveled extensively for business, and he had a great deal of free time in airplanes and hotels. He used that free time to voraciously study all the major religions and their origins, including the ancient texts. He studied reincarnation, mystics, and UFOs, Eastern and Western philosophy, quantum mechanics, relativity, cosmology, anthropology, and archaeology. He studied every perspective he could think of, inspired by the principles he had extensively researched and the mysteries of existence they revealed, he decided to pass along his understandings, which he compiled into his groundbreaking book, The Endless Journey, A Unique Perspective on Mankind's Origin, Purpose, and Ultimate Destiny. And David Gagin is here with us today to share what he has learned through his research and has written about in his book. And now it is my privilege and honor to bring you David Gagin. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much, Randy, for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Gagin?
Well, Gagin, either one. I answer to either one.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it could be either Gagin or Gagin, but okay.
Right.
If I do it according to the rules that I've learned in English, it would be Gagin, but we can do it either way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Okay. You know, I talked to you a little bit about the way I identified with your intro. And when you talk about not finding the answers in your religion that you were looking for, and as a young man, how religion did not work for you, and I relate to that. I've written about that. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because I know religion is a topic that is, it's kind of touchy, but I think that there are a lot of us out there that don't relate to the tenets of the religion we were raised with.
Yeah, it's, you know, I remember when I was about 15 or so sitting in the Episcopalian church that I was brought up in and looking around at all the pomp and ceremony. I thought to myself, I really don't know what the answer is, but this probably isn't it. And I continued to search, and I'd ask people, to talk to me about it. And obviously I started with Christianity because that's where I grew up. And it just didn't make any sense to me, but the Bible is supposed to be, written by God. And I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, this is 2,000 pages of self-conflicting text, and it's just not the likely thing that God would end up writing. I would have thought that it would be shorter and more pithy and a little bit more succinct. But then I thought, okay, well, how about the other religions? And I started looking at the other religions, and I found them all the same. And then what I did is I said, well, maybe it's been changed over time. So I went back to the original things as best I could, with Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and the Upanishads. And it was fascinating how close they came together and what they said. And it was there was a consistency that has changed over time.
It has changed over time?
Oh, absolutely. It's if you go back and if you just look at the what Jesus said, selfless service to others. Well, that's what Buddha said, and that's what, if you go read the Bhagavad Gita, that's basically the type of things that Krishna is saying, and it's all the dogmatic things that have changed and snuck into the religion over time that's changed so much. I mean, Jesus hated temples, and then all of a sudden you find that the Christian religion creates temples and changes the structure and calls them churches. So it's the changes. There's a lot changed from what the original. Well, I'm not sure that they were the founders, but they were attributed to be the founders of the religions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, when you said change, I was thinking about change for the better, but
no,
I,
it didn't.
Yeah, it's obvious
no,
that we've gotten away from
the
original intentions of the sages and those who have inspired our world.
Exactly.
So you have a background in science, very strong science. How did you find yourself interested in this, and why did it suck you in so much?
Well, that's a good question. I started, I think, with just reading things like some of the old archaeological things that they've found, and these things just staggered me. Things like the pyramids, the Pyramid of Giza, and the precision that went into that, and the massiveness of it. And I looked at it and I thought, well, these guys are supposed to have built this 5,000 years ago. I'm not sure we could build it today. And you look at Baalbek in Lebanon, and the Greeks say that the temple that they built was built on an ancient foundation, and the ancient foundation were blocks that were 3 million pounds and looked like they'd been machined. And you go on and on, and this is all over the planet. And I started getting into that, and then I just kind of got sucked in, and the more I looked, the more questions I got.
Wow. That is so interesting. And I guess from an engineering point of view, you know, that you would probably, I mean, I know you weren't a structural engineer, but just from an engineering point of view, that would just blow your mind.
It absolutely blew my mind. And you know, and the items can go on and on. There's no stopping that. They found a map of the Antarctica that was ancient in 1550. Well, we didn't map the Antarctica until we didn't even know it was there until 1818. And you know, so I mean, it's just amazing what you find. And as you go in and you start looking around and looking around, you find out that there's been an awful lot of wisdom on this planet, an awful lot of smart people like Plato to Einstein that knew an awful lot of stuff. And if you go in and look at what they came up with, and you know, their ideas were absolutely brilliant, and they've gotten pushed aside, and people haven't really appreciated, I don't think, some of the genius that went on. And then if you tie that with our latest psychology studies of hypnotic regression, near-death experiences, so on and so forth, and what's coming out of quantum mechanics, it amazed me that it all plays to the same tune. It all sings the same song. It blew me away when I finally realized it.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. Yeah, you talked in your book about a lot of those things that you mentioned, you know, and also about Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters, which I read
absolutely
a long time ago. And
yeah,
it is,
too.
For anyone that's interested in reincarnation, that is the fundamental book to read because it will convince you. And
yeah.
I've actually seen Brian Weiss live. Great, great man. Very, 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 you know, very much a groundbreaker.
No question about it. No question about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. It's a fascinating book. You talked about, in your book, you talk about the universal consciousness, and you talk about it in a way that was really different for me, a different approach, and I kind of wanted to know more. You say that when it came into being, it was totally ignorant, and then at some point it decided upon a self-directed course of learning on which it continues to this day. You said its goal is perfection. Tell us more about that.
Okay. You know, the Christianity has a trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, there was a trinity before that, and the ancient wisdom had a trinity. And the Father, which was really the Father-Mother, was chaos. It was the void. It was, which isn't a void. It's full of energy, but it's when nothing existed except tiny, tiny particles in a what the best I could understand is virtually an infinite area. And then all of a sudden, the sun was a spirit that all of a sudden came into being. It didn't create itself. It was somehow created, and that was the initial first spirit. And then the Holy Ghost in the ancient wisdom was all the spirits that came from the original spirit, and that's the universal consciousness, and that's us. But they use a singular, which I found interesting, because it is all one. It's all of the consciousness put together. So when the first spirit became and then became aware, it had no experiences. There was no such thing as truth because it hadn't been created yet. So it just kind of existed, and then it started to grow, and it has just kept going. So it's immense, and its wisdom is fathomless, really, and we're just little pieces of it that have been around a long time, but nowhere near the length of time that the original, very first spirit was.
So when you talk about spirit and you talk about the sun, we're talking about really starting just as energy, some source of energy, correct?
Just energy. That's exactly what it is. It's just a form of energy. And that's all we see today. You look out your window and you see trees and animals and water and everything. All that is energy, and that's what science will tell you. That's what Einstein said. Hey, the world's an illusion. You know, you look at things, and you know, it's really E equals MC square. You know, the matter
right.
is really just a bunch of energy, and it's put in a form, and it's put in a form that our senses can see. And we have very limited senses. Our eyes look at a very small frequency. Our hearing is very small. Our touch is a very, very certain sensitive frequency. So what we have is we have all of these different inputs coming, and they all build on each other. And they present us with a picture. It's brilliantly done. And they present us with a picture of the world. But if we looked at an infrared camera, the world would look very different than it looks now. We have been presented with something that builds on all of the other illusions. And the fascinating
right.
thing is what you don't see is the spiritual world that's embedded within nature. It's embedded within us. And it's purposeful that we don't see that. It's been set up so that's what we would see. They don't have a problem. The powers that be don't have a problem with us knowing about it and learning about it. Matter of fact, we're supposed to. But it takes time, but we have to get through the illusion of life. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's just we can't see it. We can't see what's really behind it.
Right, right. And I feel that just consciousness is rising so rapidly among humanity that people are really grabbing onto this notion that there's so much more than what we see.
I agree with that. I think mankind is really beginning to grow and maybe just about to take a step function. I'm hoping so. You know, we look in the papers and we see all the bad things happening, but what we're seeing mostly in the Mideast and such like that is 1,000 years of war, and this is the karmic reaction to it. But I think, in general, the world is moving forward. Consciousness.
I agree. There's so much more light than darkness in the world, and it's up to each of us to spread that light and to teach, like you are teaching through your book. Get this information out there, because the more people that we can, that can awaken, the faster we can fix this world. And you talked about, in writing about the universal consciousness, you talk about its goal is perfection. Now, I've learned through a lot of my readings that, and through many people that I've talked to, is that, we reincarnate. We're here to learn. We're here to perfect. This is basically a school we go to. And that we are perfecting for the source, which we are a part of. The source, the universal consciousness, some call it God. So is that kind of what you were saying when you say its goal is perfection?
Exactly. You know, if you're going to live for eternity, which is what a soul does, you have to have a purpose. And otherwise, you'd be bored to death. So somewhere along the line, the universal consciousness or God decided that perfection is what it wants to strive for. And perfection is knowing all of truth. Now, the amazing thing about truth is it's created, and we don't create it. We're just learning it because we're not quite far enough along on the consciousness ladder. But the universal consciousness in itself is creating truth, and as it creates the new truth, which is truth is what is real, what is. So it's got to create something to learn it and learn about it. We are in the process of just learning about what it's already created, but that's exactly right. And the nice thing about perfection is we have eternity to get there. So you don't want people to think, I'm not very perfect, because we aren't. But we don't need to be. We're not supposed to be. We're just supposed to be a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And the key is selfless service. And if we can just be a little bit less selfish today than we were yesterday, and a little bit less selfish tomorrow than we were today, then we're heading in the right direction. That's all we need to do, is just move in the right direction. We don't have to feel a lot of pressure for, oh man, am I failing in this thing? Because nobody's failing. It's just try to improve a little bit every day.
That is so well said, David. You really did explain that in a way that I think a lot of people can grasp. because yes, you know, yeah, this word perfection can be very confusing to us. Are we all supposed to be perfect? No. If we were perfect, we'd be done here. We wouldn't have to reincarnate and come here.
Exactly.
We're not perfect.
We'd be doing something else.
Right, exactly. We'd be on to another thing. Our spirit would be not have to come to this physical world. So that leads me kind of into another topic. You talk about how spiritual growth, which we're all really here to achieve, changes our vibratory level in a way that allows us to receive higher level energies. And then you talk about categories of the hierarchical states of consciousness. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And I kind of broke up the states as something that I thought, you know, would fit to what people can understand. And at our very lowest level, when we're a spiritual seed and we're sent off into the universe, when you start out, you're just a being, and that's it. It's the lowest form of existence. And then there's awareness, and you're aware of what's around you, that there's something out there. And after that, you get to the self-awareness. You look around and say, wait a minute, this is who I am. And then you grow into truth, and that's kind of where we are now. We're trying to separate truth and opinion. And opinion is our ideas that aren't true, and truth, obviously, is what is real. And then you work into, as part of truth, there's knowledge. And there's knowledge. Knowledge is easier to learn than probably in the spiritual world than the world that we're in, the natural world, because it's things like the speed of light and how things work, the physical nature of things. And you can learn that really anywhere. But the higher level of that is the wisdom. And wisdom is the emotional side of it, and you know in the spiritual world we have we live in a very safe environment, and there's no fear, there's no vengeance, there's no hate, so there's love, so there's emotion, but for us to experience and understand wisdom, we need to feel these other things. And that's why we're here. So we have an opportunity to feel them. And understanding is the same way. It's the ability to know why truth is. The wisdom is more to evaluate the emotional situation, but understanding, which is a little bit higher level, is to know why truth is as it is. And then you can move on after we're done that and after we've really probably done with this world, we become illuminated, and that's when we realize all existing truths, and that's quite a ways down the line. And then there's projection, and that's the ability to radiate truth and emanate truth. In other words, build a new realm, when you get to a point where you can actually build something. And then there's creation, and that's the ability to come up with new truths. So there's all these levels of truth, of consciousness that we're working our way through, and once you get to the truth portion and you get out of the basic awareness, then there's all these different levels that we need to learn, and that's what we're doing. We're learning here. We're learning emotional truth, which is a big piece of the overall truth that we're looking for.
Mm. Okay, that's really interesting. Now, as we, there was another thing that you talked about, that about cosmic cycles, and you were saying how a cosmos is created, it exists through expansion and contraction, and then it is destroyed. So can you explain cosmic cycles?
Yeah, it appears that, you know, as they say, you know, as it is below, so it is above. And, you know, we have day nights, we have, you know, all of these cycles. Well, there is an ultimate cycle. And that cycle is the creation of a universe. And the universe gets created by the spiritual, by universal consciousness. And new spiritual seedlings are exposed to this, And the old ones, the ones that were in the previous cycles, they also come in at various levels with various tasks to do to help the growth and to help bringing on and teaching the young seedlings. And that goes for a period of time. And then after that period of time, and the period of time is you know, like 4 trillion years or something like that. And, you know, it's a long time. And then afterwards, that cycle goes away and everything goes dormant for a while. And nobody dies, you just go dormant, you rest. And then after you're done resting, which is for about the same length of time as it goes, as a cycle goes, it reawakens and a new universe and a new realm is created, realms, I should say, multiple realms. And the process starts over, and then we start over. And whatever level we left off at, then that's where we pick up. And so you know, there's various levels of spirits out there that might have been first started in an earlier cycle. So they might be cycle, you know, this might be their ninth cycle or whatever. And their wisdom is probably much, much greater than somebody's cycle who is the sixth cycle or the first cycle. So
right.
it goes in flows and on through eternity.
Right. So we really don't have any evidence of anything beyond our cosmic cycle, the one that we're in. Prior to it.
No,
right.
No, there's no physical evidence of that. That would come from the spiritual world.
Right, right. And also, I mean, I've actually talked to star entities through people who have channeled and who come here who are from these times before we even knew, who come here and are actually helping us with our world. So I guess they would probably have maybe been, these are entities from maybe previous cosmic cycles who have the
right.
wisdom.
Very, very advanced, very wise, wise beings. Yep.
Right, right. And so that would probably be our only evidence that, that they have existed, very, very fascinating. So what kind of data have you come up with? You know, being of a scientific mind, did you do this in terms of data in your research, or was this
when I started, I thought, well, let's see. I wanted to convince myself. I wasn't trying to prove anything, because being a scientist, we don't prove anything. Science has never proved anything in its life. It's got some great theories. It's got some very bright guys in it. But proof, science is in its infancy. It's got a half-life of about 18 months. So everything that they tell you is true today, half of it is going to be revised in the next 18 months. But they're working on it. They're making progress. So I wasn't trying to prove anything. What I wanted to do is come up with what's the most plausible answer. And, you know, an awful lot of science, they look at it, and if something doesn't fit their theory, they put it in the back room of a museum or something. And and not so much in physics, because physics is a harder science, and they'll throw out certain things when they don't add up. Unlike the Big Bang, which they haven't thrown out, even though they had to create 95% of the universe to explain it, 95% of the universe in dark matter and dark energy that nobody knows where it is, and then they don't know where what caused the Big Bang to start with, but they have nothing else to put there, so they can't get rid of it yet, because they don't want to say, I just don't know. But so what you have to do, what I thought I had to do, is I couldn't fool myself. So I said, all right, go and look at everything that you can. Consider it all. Don't throw out anything, but, you know, you don't have to believe everything, but just put it away. If it's too much for you, put it away. Reincarnation is a perfect example. I read Brian Weiss back in the 80s or whenever I read it, and I didn't accept it. I took it, but I didn't reject it. I said, you know, either Weiss is a nutcase, or Catherine's a nutcase, or I'm a nutcase for even thinking about this. But what I did is I went on and I read other books, and there are a lot of other books, and it turned out there were thousands of people that had gone through this, and they all had about the same story. And then I thought, well, you know, they're making money on this thing. Why don't I go to talk to some people that aren't making money? So I went and I found some psychiatrists that were doing this for a living, but not making any money on it. They're just, you know, not selling books. And I asked them, what do you find? And they said, hey, same thing. You know, this is what we find. You know, and then you go and you look at Ian Stevenson and seeing what he had some amazing things. He wrote a book where biology and reincarnation come together. And if you go around and you look at all of these things from all the different perspectives, and then you say, okay, what's the most plausible? And when you do that, I think you have the best chance. You considered everything, the best chance of coming up with the right answer.
Okay, I like that. I think that makes sense. So how do we convince, well, no, I don't really want to say that because we really can't convince people because we're ready when we're ready. We are
right.
You know,
yeah, everybody is on their own journey. And my job to write this book was not to convince anybody because I don't think you can convince people. You have to convince yourself. But I thought I thought I could write this book and it would help people look at the world, at their own beliefs, and they need to be the seeker. You can't bestow knowledge on people. You have to put effort out and you have to find that knowledge yourself. You can't fool yourself. But if you don't look and you sit back and you just grab a hold of something, whether it be religion or science or anything else, and say, okay, I'm going with that. Well, that's fine, but you're probably not going to find truth, not at this stage of our civilization. You got to go get it.
Right. You know, as soon as that word convinced came out of my mouth, I'm like, no, I don't really want to say that because it's really not the way I go about it either. I mean, I just, you know, I throw out a lot of information through my shows, through my writings and things like that. And people grab onto what they are, you know, what resonates with them.
Right. It's where they are. Every one of us is in a different place. We're not really all that far off from each other, but we're different. And there's many, many paths that you can go through these various lives on this earth and anywhere else. And we all follow a self-directed path towards wisdom. And that means we can learn so-and-so now, we can learn some other piece of it later, and so on. And we're all learning slightly different, but we'll all get there. We'll all learn everything, but we're all a little bit different. So some people are ready for stuff like this, and some people aren't. And certainly the newer, I think some of the newer spirits, I mean, you got to have a first time that you incarnate into the human form. And there'll be a last time that you'll incarnate into it. So you'd hope that between your first and your last, you've learned a lot. So some of the younger ones aren't ready for it yet, and some of the older ones are probably past it and moving on out.
Right. I hope I'm one of those.
We all would like to think that we're ready to move on to something bigger, but, you know, we'll probably all be back.
I'd love to move on out. I always say, I'm not coming back here. If I have an option, I'm not coming back here because there's so much more.
Yeah, I'm not drawing this short straw again. This has been a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. This is a hard place to be.
It
but
is.
The work,
I think it's probably one of the harder planets to live on, quite frankly.
I
but we probably
so
learn
too.
More from it in a 50 or 100 year period than you do from an awful lot of existence on other planets. And I assure you, we have the option of living on other planets.
Yeah.
You can incarnate here, you can incarnate somewhere else.
There's a saying, David, that that only the bravest souls choose to incarnate to Earth.
I believe that.
And it's, yes, this is a very, very tough tough place to be. But our spiritual growth is so accelerated by doing this, and that's why we come here. But we're all brave to have chosen this journey.
I agree with that 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like you to, I'm going to give you this opportunity really to talk about whatever you want to talk about as far as, you know, how you're, about your book or where it can be purchased or, you know, your website or whatever.
Okay. I have a website, davidgagin.com, and it's G-A-G-G-I-N, David, G-A-G-G-I-N. And from there, you can read a little bit about the book, but you can also, it gives you a link to Amazon. You can buy the book, you know, either in paperback format or Kindle, whichever you'd like. And it's very easy to get along with. I like to think that it's a very straightforward book. You know, if you you read it slow, and because a lot in it and things that you don't understand, you read it again. But it's fairly straightforward. I think the biggest key that I would like to leave your listeners with is for them to realize that you know, we live frustrating lives, and we were just talking about it, that, you know, this is a tough place to live, a tough earth to live on, but we have come a long way and a lot farther way than a lot of people recognize, and we put a lot of effort into it, this not just this life but many lives. And we have free will, and the free will that we have means that we can be stressed and anxious and have all these fears about everything, or we can enjoy it. We can't stop the experiences from us having, but we can react to them differently, and we don't have to be stressed out. We can enjoy life, and we ought to enjoy the people around us. We ought to enjoy our adversaries because they're doing our bidding for us. They're helping us out, giving us experiences. And so if anything that people got out of this book, I would hope it would be that they could see themselves in a higher light and recognize that what they're doing is a lot of work. It's good work. They have a purpose. They have all kinds of help. And I think if people could look at it from life from the perspective that the spiritual world is where we really live, and this is like a business trip for us. We're down here, we're working our tail off, we're learning things, but then we go back to the spiritual world. Death is a big nothing. Dying can be difficult, but death is a big nothing, and it's just us going back to where we live, and then we digest what we did, and then we go off and do it again. It's a great world we live in. And we are a key piece, we're unique, and we always will be, and we are unique enough to provide a unique perspective to the universal consciousness, especially as we get on in life.
Mm. Wow, that was so well said. I love the way you put that. That's a really good summary of the book, and really a really good lesson for all of us to learn, and a great way to look at life. I mean, we're here on a journey, and we might as well go with the flow, you know, and we get caught up, you know, now with 24-hour-a-day news and things like that. Fear is being just slammed in our face constantly, but that is not the truth.
It isn't. It's an illusion. Fear is an illusion. We live in a safe world. We think it's, you know, we look at our body and we say, well, I don't want to stub my toe. I got fear of that. And a little fear is not bad, right? You don't want to jump out in front of a moving bus. But we take it to the extreme. And we worry about all these things that we do and the mistakes. But those are our lessons. The mistakes are, that's how we learn the most. You know, if something goes well in your life, you really don't know why. But when something goes wrong, you know every excruciating detail because you got to work your way out of it. And that's how we learn. We ought to relish our mistakes and our problems instead of fear them.
Right. And just let go of all the control that we have.
Exactly.
of needing to run our lives. You know, and I like that you said, you know, that we have all these helpers. We just can't see them, but they're all around us, and they don't send us into this place alone. We're never alone. We have.
We're
lots
never given
of
anything that we can't handle.
Right. And I think we've all heard that, but I think, you know, to understand that that we're not here, not in this alone, that we have spirit guides and we have angels and we have the source, and there's so much help out there. All we have to do is just ask for it, and it's there. And even if we don't ask for it, we're being
cushioned.
We get
it whether we ask for it or not. They know what we need, and they give it to us. We don't need to ask for it. It's just there. All we have to do is have the confidence that it's there. And it's all it is.
Let go of the needing to see everything and understand everything and just.
Right.
But I think you presented a great overlook of what life is really about in the endless journey, and it is a unique perspective on our origin, purpose, and ultimate destiny. So I have read David's book, The Endless Journey, A Unique Perspective on Mankind's Origin, Purpose, and Ultimate Destiny, and I definitely recommend that you do because it really covers everything, you know, and David's not somebody, not a flighty person out there. David is a very grounded person. So when it comes from somebody like him, we really need to take a second look. So I want to thank you so much for being my guest today and sharing.
Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too, and I think we all learned a lot today. So I so appreciate it. And I really appreciate it. Thank you. So I'm going to have to end the show today. I hate to say goodbye. I always hate to say goodbye, but I have to go. So goodbye and have a wonderful day. So our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. My website is also randygfine.com. I have hundreds of articles and quotes that you can share on there. Check out my website. You're going to find something for you. So that's randygfine.com. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. At the top of every show page is a follow button. And when you do that, you will be you'll get information about all the shows that are coming up, and you won't want to miss anything because I have great programming, just like today. I mean, it's all powerful. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website, randygfine.com. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.